Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. I'm Rex Nelson, Democrat Gazette senior editor, and it's been a while, but it's great to have back the CEO of the Arkansas Travelers baseball team in North Little Rock, Rusty Meeks. Rusty, great to have you again.
Great to be back. Appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, right in the middle of summer, we got to talk baseball. First half of the season, disappointing ending to the first half. The Travelers needed to win one of their last three home games and couldn't get it done to win the division in the first half. But all said, they have fielded a good, really entertaining team, in my opinion, the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we had number one and number two prospects with Cole Young and Harry Ford. You hate to lose that way. Win one of the last three games and to lose all three of them. And then to just know that you're losing some players coming down in the next couple months just because the MLB team's doing so well. Mariners are in first place.
Yeah, exactly. They are.
Yeah, they're 5.5 games in front. And we've gotten four guys called up already this year that have actually gotten some big league time in the majors. And so that's been pretty cool. Again, that's all part of the minor leagues. Mm-hmm. And what's so awesome about what we get to do is to watch these guys come through and eventually know they're going to be future major leaguers. So,
yeah. And you're right. It is all part of the minor leagues, but that again, you're right. That's the fun part. But often the team that starts a season at the minor league, especially when you get double A, triple A, where they're moving up, can move up pretty quickly. That team at the start of the season may be an entirely different team by the end of the season.
Almost always, it's a completely different team. Yeah, yeah.
We're very few players. Here all the way through the summer. They're either going up or down. Yeah.
I mean, we lost Tyler Locklear, Spencer Packard, a couple other offensive guys, and we're a totally different offense than we were a month and a half ago. Locklear just played in the majors a couple weeks ago. And so, yeah, just totally different. It always rotates. Trade deadline's coming up, too, so I'm sure we'll have some. I think Jerry DePoto's got the most trades in MLB history. He's the GM of the Mariners. And
yeah,
so
yeah.
I fully expect the trade to happen with some of our guys. But hey, that's all part of the minor leagues.
Absolutely. Of course, the Seattle makes the decisions on personnel. You can't control that. The things you can control, though, is the atmosphere, what people are facing. How have the crowds been the first half of this season?
Really good the last couple weeks. I will say we had some weather in April and May, just a lot of rain.
Oh, yeah, it was wet in the spring.
And just, you know, rain around the area, and that certainly affects us 100%. But overall, you know, we're doing really well. We're down a little bit from last year, but I know we're going to make that up. I have full confidence in that. We had just a tremendous June. And we're right in line where we need to be. So attendance has been really good. And people are staying longer. We have noticed that. People are staying through the games. That pitch clock's made a huge difference.
It really has. It really has. Getting out of there in 2.5 hours as opposed to 3 hours and 15, 3 hours and 20 minutes before the pitch clock.
Yeah, yeah. Getting home has been nice. My wife is getting used to me being home at 9:30 instead of 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, which is always a nice change of pace. But, yeah, I mean, promotions have been great. We do have a really good interactive team, I will say that. I mean, with just our fans and our youth foundation, we had three guys go out yesterday when it was 100-something degrees. They stayed extra with the kids there, played a game with them for like 30 minutes after the time. So the Mariners do a tremendous job. I think they're actually one of the best in the major leagues, in my opinion, of just being involved in the community and being involved in just the youth development of baseball. It's really special to see, and so that's what's been really great about this team of players that we have. We have six or seven that will stay until every autograph is signed.
That's great.
You sadly don't see that as much anymore in minor leagues, but here with our team, you do, and that's pretty cool.
That really is neat. Got to talk about, of course, the Travelers were a front-page story in our newspaper earlier this season with a sale, and one of the things I wanted to use this show for is to really lay out, you know, where we've been, where we're going as a ball club now. And so I think you really have to go back to 1960 to really explain this whole thing when Ray Winder Field was later named for, the old Travelers Field in Little Rock, basically, Little Rock had lost baseball. He wanted to get baseball back. And what he basically did was go around the Central Arkansas business community with hat in hand saying, give me a donation. in essence, because those donations really were stock certificates. They were $5 a share is all. And they said, we'll never pay a dividend. So in essence, they were almost contributions. They weren't tax deductible. You did own part of the team, but you're never going to get paid a dividend. That system somehow worked for more than 60 years, I think longer than anybody could have predicted at the time. But Rusty, I know baseball now at all levels is a big business, and we just got to a point, and I say we, I have served, full disclosure here, on the Travelers Board for more than 20 years. We just got to a point where that business model just is no longer sustainable in the modern world of professional sports.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of really big factors that have changed what we did. It all changed in 2020, not with COVID, but when Major League Baseball
huge change
took
and
it over.
I want to get into that a little more later.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, and we'll get into that here in just a little bit. But that was a huge change. And then minor league baseball is also unionized now.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a minor league union. Neither one of those existed up to 2019.
Yeah, exactly.
And so when 20 came in, and I just cannot stress, you know, to the listeners how much that's changed what we do in our business. Most of it all in a positive way, but it's just become a much larger business, a much larger just animal, if you will, than what it used to be.
Absolutely. And it's good for the fan because you're seeing, the things that have been required. You can now, watch every minor league game in the country in high definition on your computer at night. You can go wherever you want to. But that took new equipment. That took spending. So let's go back to that change. Major League Baseball decides we want to control our farm leagues. Minor League Baseball, as we knew it, and a lot of fans don't understand this, completely went away. Texas League is really a name only. There is no Texas League office. There is no Texas League commissioner.
Yeah, that went away. Used to be the NA, is that what they called it. There was their own minor league president and minor league commissioner, just like you have the major league commissioner. They worked together, but they weren't the bestest of friends, just to be full transparent. Mm-hmm. I always say Major League Baseball was more like a cousin at the time to us. Now they're our big brother.
Yeah.
We report directly to them on everything. They see everything that we do, open book to everything that we do and those type of things. They have control over sponsorships and different things that we do there. It's all good. It's just changed a lot. And the other really big thing is that we never had anybody telling us that we had to do something mm-hmm. from a requirement to our stadium. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's key. Now Major League Baseball has come in, and these are all really good things for the players. You will never hear me say they're bad things, because
they're
not. They're
absolutely
all good.
They are.
But they came in and said, you need these type of facilities, you need these type of travel things. Well, that costs teams millions and millions of dollars, mm-hmm. big millions of dollars. And so in the minor league world, we don't have a TV deal. You know, every single dollar we make comes from tickets, any sort of revenue stream, merchandise, groups, sponsorships, that's it. And so, we don't have extra revenue coming in from a TV or media rights deal like major league teams do.
Mm-hmm. And so now you talk about Big Brother. You're sending emails on the phone numerous times. I think it's fair to say on a daily basis now with people in New York, the reporting requirements are such, right?
Daily. I mean, we were dealing with people in New York every single day. We're more involved with the Mariners now as well on the major league side of things, again, because of the union. It really kind of all goes back to that, the minor league union and what they want for their players to have. But, yeah, I mean, they come down and visit us. We have people from Major League Baseball visit us all the time. They come down and do an audit of our facility to make sure that we're in line with these requirements. It's just a different world. That mm-hmm. used to never ever happen under the old system. And I worked under the old system from 12 to 19, so I'm very familiar with it.
Long time. Yep.
And so it's just, I cannot stress how much has changed. I mean, it flipped our world upside down and just dealing with it. But again, a couple years out of it now, it's a good thing. It is. It's changed a lot. Even I had a hard time with some of the changes that were coming, but
it has resulted in a better product on the field for the fans. Those of us that were fortunate enough to keep minor league baseball, mainly because that takeover, let's not forget, did away with more than 40 minor league teams.
They cut 42 teams. Yeah, we're one of the 120 that remains, and we've got a incredible relationship with MLB, you know, and the Mariners. And to your point, Rex, yeah, it did a great things for our fans. I mean, we got all new streaming, all new HD cameras. If you watch it online, it's a big time streaming.
It is. It looks good. It is a network quality production.
We've got Wi-Fi in the ballpark for everybody now. Public Wi-Fi. All these, you know, we've got a new facility going in that we're going to be able to use, BP facility that can fit 200 people indoors that we can use for other events. You know, we've got all these things. They all just don't just help the team; they help the community, and that's all part of it.
Yeah, yeah. Walk me through. Let's walk through just since 2019, some of the things that you have had to do, requirements that I know a lot of fans just aren't aware of. If you can just take some time and go through all this, here are the things we've done that Major League Baseball is now requiring of the minor leagues.
Yeah, and this has all pretty much been public. I mean, it's close to $6 million that the team, the Arkansas Travelers team, has put into this over the last couple of years. Some of the big ones are all new Wi-Fi, a new video board to help with some of the national sponsorships that MLB has to do, which is obviously that was a huge benefit to our fans. Mm-hmm. New BP facility, all new visiting clubhouse and female facility. I think I hit the HD cameras, but all just new back-of-house video equipment and scouting equipment for the major league teams to be able to do all those type of things. Brand new lights, brand new field as well. So, I mean, a whole lot of those, and then a bunch of little things on the dugouts, from netting to seating requirements to awning over in the bullpen so guys don't get too warm out there. And so we've done a lot, and we made sure we did it all in the time that we needed to do. Major League Baseball, under the structure, gave you a certain amount of years to get this done and get these requirements done, to be under certain points, if you will. And so we're under that requirement. I mean, we're good. We obviously still have a bigger issue that we've got to continue to work together with the city and others to resolve the sinkhole issue that's out there.
Right.
Again, that's a union thing. That is 100%, you know, based on that, and it makes perfect sense to me. I understand it. And we've got to continue to work towards that, but we're going to. We're going to figure that out and make sure that we're here. But that's the last thing we've got to do. And, you know, it's been a lot of work, but it's been good. And it's all good things for the Central Arkansas. And it doesn't just help the players. And that's what I think is so awesome about some of this stuff. It helps the fans, which is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. And in minor league baseball, certainly that's where it ends up. Like you said, no TV deal. It comes down to the fans and the type of entertainment and the type of show that you are putting on for them. And it is all, like you said, been helpful to the fans and helpful to the players and resulted in a better quality of play on the field. All right, new owners, like I said, basically a locally owned team, but because it had been 1960, we didn't even know who a lot of the shareholders had been. That's been a tremendous amount of work. And given this new world in which we live, I think it is fair to say that the powers that be in baseball like to be able to point to somebody, in essence, and say, this is the owner of the ball club, this is the person with whom we dealt. And with this strange animal of the Travelers, there was nothing else like it anywhere in minor league baseball. They could not do that.
No, they couldn't, and I'll take this.
Because we had hundreds of owners.
We had hundreds.
We didn't know where a bunch of them were.
Yeah, and I'll take a second to just shamelessly plug my father on this one.
Absolutely.
Without his relationship with them. And
this is Traveler President Russ Meeks, who is basically for no pay worked full-time from 2010 on to make all of this, keep all of this going.
Yeah, without his connections, it's hard to see some of this stuff getting done in the relationships that we have, you know, with them and to Major League Baseball to, you know, really care for Central Arkansas and love what we do in here. I mean, it's definitely helped with that relationship, you know, on that side of things. But, yeah, it's just the way we were owned was just so unique, and so it just wasn't sustainable. That's the word I've really been using in today's world. It just really wasn't sustainable, and these new owners that are coming in are tremendous people, and it's really no different than big industries that you think of or big sporting industries. I mean, all those commissioners and even outside of the sports world, these big companies, industries, they want one or two people they can go to and talk to about this and say, hey, we need to get this done. Can we get this done from a financial standpoint? And they've got that in this new ownership group. Peter Freund and Pat Battle, they're tremendous guys. They came down and visited us a couple weeks ago. They just hired the COO from Topgolf a few months ago.
Wow.
Yeah, a lady named Jen Gray. She brings tremendous experience. And so they're all in. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the other thing. I know people were scared about them buying us and these teams. They're going to move them. Like, they're not doing that. They want to stay here. They want to continue to give us the resources to make us even better for Central Arkansas and for our fan base. That's their goal. I mean, they're buying teams that are, I say, in the top 30, top 40 of Major League Baseball and just revenue and attendance and those yes. types of things. I mean, they're buying these teams that are already run well. Mm-hmm. They just want to help them.
Yeah, absolutely. Own more than 30 minor league teams now.
34 right now. 34.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, the names that you mentioned, tremendous background in sports marketing, which is a multi-billion-dollar business in our country now. And these guys have done it at the highest levels through the years.
Yeah, and one key thing I'll say on that is minor league baseball, and this is props to all the operators of minor leagues, it has blown up over mm-hmm. the last couple of years.
It's hot.
It's hot. If you look at the attendance and everything, I mean, it's gotten so much larger. Mm-hmm. And so with that, it brings in people that want to be involved in it. And so, you know, all these big-time sports people that are coming in to work in minor league baseball that have been with Under Armour, been with Topgolf, been with Learfield and licensing and these type of things to come to minor league baseball, I mean, that's awesome and yeah. great for the sport of minor league baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing, and I wrote about this recently, but one thing I have been heartened to hear about our new owners is that they really love the tradition of the Travelers. I mean, this is one of the oldest professional franchises in America. Travelers is the second oldest mascot behind only Buffalo in minor league baseball. So much history there, and a lot of the teams they own don't have that, and they're cognizant of and respectful of, I guess I would say, that great history that we have here in Arkansas.
Yeah, that was a huge draw to them of purchasing this team and being involved in this community. Like, they wanted to be here, and they want to stay here. That's what's so awesome, because of the history. When they visited, they actually texted me. They wouldn't mind me sharing this. They texted me when they left and said, after visiting, we absolutely made one of the best decisions ever, and we believe Arkansas – and Travelers will be one of the, you know, preeminent AA clubs for many years to come and those type of things. After coming here, talking to the fans, seeing the fan base, the atmosphere. I mean, they came on, I think, a Tuesday, Wednesday night, and we had 3,000 or 4,000 people there. I mean, that's really, really good there. Our fans continue to show out. We have one of the greatest fan bases in minor league baseball. But them coming here and seeing it in person, they were like, man, this is baseball. They walk into the ballpark and say, this is what a ballpark's supposed to feel like. Just the views, the skyline. I mean, they were beyond excited.
Yeah, it is a great fan base. And again, it's because of that history. So many minor league teams have been in their communities just a few years. A lot of them change names, mascots on a regular basis. Here you've got that generational thing. You know, my dad was a Traveler fan. My granddad was a Traveler fan. They took me to games. I go to games. So you've got that. You've got – you know, the kind of newspaper coverage they don't get in other cities. I will mention, I had something come up. I meant to go out Sunday afternoon, and I couldn't, but I had the radio on at the house. We actually, it's becoming more and more rare for minor league baseball. Most of it's just streaming now to be on an actual radio station.
Yeah,
Not a lot of stations, not a lot of teams do that anymore.
No, Rusty. A lot of teams. Well, I mean, it's obviously.
Which is great.
Yeah, there's a cost to that, of course, being on the radio. Uh-huh. But we think it's so important to be on the radio, the local radio here. And get again, going all back to just being part of the community. We also have one of the best in the business, in Stephen Davis.
I was going to say Stephen Davis is major league quality. I don't want to say that and anybody hire him away, but he really is. He is one of the best play-by-play men in all of minor league baseball, sir.
He's incredible. Every year we can keep him as a blessing for that. But, yeah, everyone's going to streaming. I mean, we're streaming too, but we're also on the local radio. But that's really what everybody's going to, you know, because it does save on travel. Again, it goes back to those added costs that have come mm-hmm. with kind of everything. So I get it, but we're going to continue to provide that to our listeners.
I think it's great, and I think it's one of those things that set the Travelers apart. You know, when I've had you in recent years, we've talked about this, and this is one thing that hasn't changed with the sale, but it goes back to right after COVID. I remember we were having a board meeting, and I said, you know, I simplify things, and – in that's what columnists do, because I only have so much space to try to explain complex things, so you simplify. But I said, I can simplify our mission really in three words in a post-COVID America, and that is fun, safe, and clean. And I think a lot of families are still looking for those, and it's undoubtedly fun, the promotions you use, the things that go on during games. It's a very safe feeling at Dickey Stevens Park, and I tell you, you will not find a cleaner ballpark in America either. So you're hitting on all three of those words we had discussed many years ago.
Yeah, our industry always says we're in the memory-making business.
Yeah.
And I like to say we're an escape. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, life's tough. Everybody's got so much going on. Let us just let your mind off everything for a couple hours. Come there and get a hot dog, be part of the promotions, go to the splash pad. I mean, there's so much going on at a minor league ballpark. And just let it be an escape for a second. You know, that's what's so great about what we get to do. I'm always reminded of this at some point during the season when it's hot and I'm tired and I've been working crazy hours. We were there Saturday night, and there was a kid that came that was doing a first pitch and never been to a game before. He was 7 or 8, was down there, and I took him through the dugout, and he was, like, tearing up when we, like, got out of the dugout. Mm-hmm. Just because it just meant so much to him. It's something that I take for granted, that we take for granted in what we do. And just to see the kids' faces when they come to a game,
yeah.
I mean, that's what baseball's about, minor league baseball's about. And we get to do that every day is just such a gift to this, to me, and to be part of this community to be able to do that. So, yeah, family, fun, safe is what we really strive to be. We want it to be clean. I always say we want mom to be happy when she comes there.
Absolutely.
Make sure everything's clean and all that, and so we really, Greg Johnston and our crew, they make sure and pride themselves on that.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is so clean. I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but I'm having flashbacks to the old world's longest urinal trough at Ray Winder Field, back to the old days, and how far we've really come.
Come a long way since those days.
Had we?
Yeah. Gosh, a long way since those days.
But you know, what a beautiful facility you have. Like you said, you've put about $6 million into it. There's more to be done. And you said you feel good that that's going to be done. You know, I look around, and we've got a few minutes left, and I kind of wanted to broaden it and discuss it with you. I look around, and I see the great job you do at Dickey Stevens. I see, you know, just down the road, the incredible job that Michael Marion continues to do at the Simmons Bank Arena in the winter when I don't have baseball games to go to. As you know, I'm a season ticket holder, and I've had the same seat for years at the Stevens Arena to watch UALR basketball, which I still think is one of the finest arenas of its size for basketball in the country for its size. And so we're really blessed with facilities in Central Arkansas. And I've had this discussion with the Little Rock mayor, but I think it's time that we have, maybe we get the mayors of North Little Rock, Little Rock together, and the two convention and visitors bureaus together, but it's time for a sports commission again, don't you think, to bring events here, maybe to get a bowl game here, et cetera, et cetera. Most markets this size and larger do have a regional sports commission.
Completely agree, and I think it'd be a great thing, and I'll just give you a quick example. So, I mean, we've got the Razorback game every year that we have that. I know that they play at the arena and War Memorial Course, and we're going to continue to – that's a great partnership of ours. We had the GAC tournament last year.
Yep. That's great.
But we,
college baseball.
But there's no reason with the facilities that you mentioned that we shouldn't have more of these big-time events here to draw people here. We've got the facilities to do it. Not only that, we've got the staffs to do it at those facilities. I mean, I know the people at UALR, and Michael Mario, he's become a good friend of mine. I mean, we have tremendous operators. Of course, I'm biased with our staff. I think we have one of the best staffs in minor league baseball. We can do all those things. And the other thing with the improvements that we're wanting to do is it's going to allow us to put into some bids for some big-time events. I don't necessarily want to name here, but some really big college events, other events that would allow us to put in some bids for those things on a college level. And then we're also looking at adding, you know, more concerts to us. We're trying to get the Savannah Bananas and some of those type of events here. We're also looking, and our new ownership group is really big on this, pushing, like, you know, Christmas and fall festivals, Christmas things at the ballpark, bringing in these national people that run those events. to get away from even just sports events, but just using the facilities that we have. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, to your point, I think a sports commission would be phenomenal. I think it would really help with that on trying to get all these events in here, because we've got a jewel here.
And we really do. And if we've got great facilities. We have great operators of those facilities. I go back to when we hosted the first rounds of the NCAA men's tournament. You go on that Thursday of March Madness and look up in the stands, and most of these locations on Thursday games, Friday games are about half empty. North Little Rock sold out every session, if you remember.
I was at those.
I was too.
I remember that. No,
sold out every session, and I was happy to hear soon. Apparently, we're making bids. To get that back again in future years.
And a bowl game would be phenomenal.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, War Memorial Stadium. Believe me, I know people say, "Well, it's old." Those people who complain about that hadn't been in it, frankly. War Memorial Stadium right now, and my hat's off to Kevin Crass and Gary Smith before him and the stadium commissioner. I mean, I've been going to games there, Rusty. I'm about to turn 65, so I've been going to games there for 60 years. It looks better right now than it's ever looked any time in my life.
I completely agree. I think it looks great. And
the press box, the redo of the locker rooms there, so forth.
All the facilities are going really well. I know something we've got on our long-term range is to try to get, the state tournaments here and the high school tournaments at our facility. I know they're on for a couple more years at some of the other places. But, those type of things, Central Arkansas, it just needs to be part of all those.
Yeah.
It just needs to be.
Yeah. All right, let's close out with talking about the second half of the Traveler season before I let you go. Talk about some of the promotions we've got to look forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, we've got our first ever drone show coming up here in a few weeks, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see that. I don't know if y'all seen that on television, but it's pretty cool. And then we've got Bluey Night, which is just going to be insane. We've already pretty much almost sold out on that, so that'll be really good for the kids. Obviously, we got fireworks every single Friday. We've got some more bobbleheads coming up down the line. You can find all that information on travelers.com. We're going to have a good team, too. I mean, we're losing a bunch of our offense. We're keeping some of our pitchers for the time being. You never know with the trades. Like I said, it can change daily. But I still think we're going to have a competitive team. Our manager, CC, we call him, he's fantastic, and he's got these guys ready to play. And it starts today against Springfield, second half to us.
Yeah, and as a big boy who likes to eat, I can tell you and goes to a lot of sports events, the Travelers have as good a food and beverage service. I know you take a lot of pride in this, Rusty, and as reasonable a prices as anywhere you will go in America to any sports event.
For
what you offer and the prices that you charge for it.
We really, really pride ourselves on keeping that price down, because we know how that important to be family fun, affordable, for our families.
And yet every year you have new offerings, expanded offerings, things that are different, which keeps it fun.
Yeah, and just for last week we had, Seattle night. We had garlic fries and a Seattle dog with a little garlic-infused bacon cream cheese on top of the hot dog. So it was pretty good. So we try to change things up as well.
Absolutely. Now, I can't get those oysters on the half shell like I can at a Biloxi Shuckers game when I went. But I guess when you're the Shuckers, you've got to offer that. We're kind of inland, so I won't force the issue on getting my oysters on the half shell.
Maybe some fried catfish or something.
Yeah, there we go for Arkansas. Maybe we'll do that. All right, Russ, exciting times for the Arkansas Travelers. Congratulations on the new ownership, and thanks for the tremendous work that you do on behalf of all of us here in Central Arkansas who love Traveler baseball.
Really appreciate you and your support in Central Arkansas, and just really appreciate everybody coming out and seeing us. So,
Rusty Meeks of the Arkansas Travelers, thank you for joining us for another edition of the Southern Fried Podcast, a production of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.